In Chicago for a Friday afternoon, that's the way the numbers finished up at the CME Group. July futures for the soft red winter wheat at $7.08 and a quarter, up 11¾ cents. The July hard red at $7.79 and a half finished 14 cents higher. A May corn futures $5.07, up 5¾. July at $5.12 and three quarters, 5½ higher, and September at $5.09 and a quarter, up 4¼. December at $5.06 and a quarter, 3½ cents higher, and the May futures at $5.20, up 3¼ cents. May soybeans at $14.98, up 26. July at $14.94 and a quarter, 24 and a quarter higher. And the August at $14.28 and a quarter, up 18 and three quarters. November beans at $12.39 and three quarters, 8 3/4 higher for the new crop. January of next year at $12.45, up 8 1/4 cents. Bean meal at $4.96, up 10.40, and the bean oil at $42.92. Up 33 for the day. Live cattle futures from the CME Group at 145.75. We're up a buck 45. We're at 145 even. We're up 75 cents. June at 136.77 and a half, 92 and a half cents higher. May feeders at $180 even, up 40 cents. And the August at 184.62 and a half, up 57 and a half cents. Don't forget the cattle on feed numbers. We're out at 2 o'clock. We'll have more on those in a moment. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This is a Friday afternoon, the 25th day of April. On the phone line is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Michael.
Good afternoon, Todd. Looking forward to Commodity Week here in a little bit.
Oh, yeah, Commodity Week. And Bill Lapp is on from Advanced Economic Solutions. He specializes in trying to help larger entities like the McDonald's and the rest of the restaurants of the world. I'm not going to tell you that McDonald's is one of the clients, but those kinds of places, to book all kinds of things, including livestock and meat. And I'm wondering if you took a look at that cattle on feed number that came out at 2 o'clock.
I did. I don't know if you knew this was going to happen or not, but you couldn't have picked a better week for talking about the meat and the grain relationship. Cattle on feed report probably seen as friendly to the feeders, Todd. We came in at 99% on feed April 1 compared to estimates of a little over 100%. Placements, the big number of the day, I think, 95% versus estimates of just under 101%. Keep in mind that lower number is probably a result of big March 13 placements, big historically March 13 placements. Noted that the 700 to 799 pound weight group down 13% versus last year, so that's the biggest reason why we were down versus estimates. And then the marketings came in right around pre-trade guesses at 96%. However, that is the lowest March marketings number on record going back to 1996, and that works very well into hopefully what Bill Lapp can help us with as far as the beef wholesale to retail and pork wholesale to retail prices. That spread has been slipping a lot, both of those down 10 to 11% since the end of February, and one of the high level areas of concentration for the analysis that I've been doing here because of these high retail prices, I think, are really starting to eat into the demand, and that's backtracking into the wholesale market, and we're seeing that in the cattle on feed report today.
Well, I've done the numbers for Commodity Week already, and so I know that both the live cattle and the feeder cattle in the June and the August contracts respectively posted outside up weeks, so looks like they were positioned for this set of numbers to come out. What will they do on Sunday evening then?
Well, I think they'll probably watch the corn market. If it's a friendly feeder report, or if the feeders are the major mover in the report, I think then you got to go back to the corn. And if you have a bullish weather breakout in the corn, that may limit the feeder gains, especially as you bring up some of this being priced in this week. The more likely scenario, probably, since we have priced in some of this, is if we would have a bearish corn break on lighter than expected rains and warmer weather next week and a resumption of planting progress by Tuesday, Wednesday of next week, or Thursday, Friday in some areas, then that could really help the feeders go up another leg. But I would caution, we've already started to see companies like Burger King turn their attention to putting more chicken specials, more sandwiches out there with chicken, even getting away from the pork at this stage of the game. And so I think between the high gasoline prices and the retail prices for the meat, these things are pretty elastic, and we're starting to see some of that erosion of demand and substitution of demand start to take place.
What do you think of the December corn chart at this time?
Looked a lot better on the close than it did at the beginning of the week. You know, it seemed to me, Todd, that we had a continuation of a wheat-led market overall, but there was also that element of the beginning of the week, investment funds were rotating out of commodities as a whole. It didn't matter whether you're looking at corn or coffee or hogs. They were all down sharply on Monday after the Easter break, and it seemed like they were pushing more money into the stocks. By the end of this week, though, we saw the exact opposite and the reversal of that flow come in. Stocks were down hard, and we started to see a buildup in risk premium in many commodity sectors. I think probably in the short term, that's the way to play it, given what's going on and what's transpired in the Ukraine.
Yeah, speaking of the Ukraine, let's transition into all of that wheat, because, or just what's happening in Ukraine, because there are all kinds of things. I don't know whether Odessa played much of a role today. I didn't see that on my Twitter accounts, but I can't imagine that it didn't scare the trade that there was a bomb near a major export facility in Ukraine.
Yeah, and earlier in the week, the Ukrainians said they were going to be taking over a gasoline or crude oil facility stationed there in the Odessa region, too. I definitely think it's gotten the market's attention as we got into the end of the week, especially the middle part of the week. And I say that not just because of the news getting more prominent, but also when I looked at the Kansas City, or I should say hard red versus soft red wheat spread, it was only up less than a nickel this week, and a lot of that came in the last couple days of trading. And so I don't think your hard red wheat weather really was pushed into the market price this past week. And maybe the trade was going to wait for the Wheat Quality Council tour, which starts on the 28th. Maybe they're waiting for some information from that before they really push much more weather premium into the hard red versus the soft red and make that spread really get to historical levels, which suggest to me, given the weather, we probably should get closer to historical spread levels in between those two wheat types.
Wait, does that mean you think the hard red's going to go up or the soft red's going to go down?
Hard red going up would be my guess at this stage, because I don't think the trade's really priced in a crop as bad as last year at this point. And keep in mind, we're working with like a 550 to 600 million bushel carryover here coming into the new crop harvest, and that's not a big surplus. So if we would have a crop worse than last year, then that could suggest that maybe even supplies are falling faster than what USDA put out on their April report.
May soybeans went up and touched $15 for the day, but couldn't close above it.
A lot of talk that option expiration for the May contract was the result of that. I would also say that the weekly export inspections of 5.1 million bushels didn't look like much, but that still kept us on track for a 1.6 billion bushel export pace. And once we got those export inspections out, it seemed like the spreads recovered nicely. The bull spread in the corn recovered first, and then it was yesterday and today that the July Nov bean spread recovered. It's interesting because we were able to get above 250 in that July Nov bean spread on the close today, so we have regained a major support level, and so that sets you up for a continuation next week unless you get more cancellations or something fundamentally to turn the tide and drive it back lower.
Talk to you in about 15 minutes.
Sounds great, sir.
All right. Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He will be back for Commodity Week. That'll be up on our website by about 4. And if you listen to the home station, you can find it there very, very shortly. 2:36, in fact.